Hi everyone, this is Ms. Spearman. For First Chapter Friday this week, I'm going to read one chapter from Misadventures in Ghost Hunting by Melissa Yu. This is one of the Chocolate Lily novels this year, so it's one of the books nominated for the award. So if you read at least 3 or 4 of the Chocolate Lily novels, then you can vote on which one you think is your favorite. Okay, Chapter 1. The first rule of dealing with ghosts is that you don't. Which is why, when I crept down the stairs, I didn't look in the mirror hanging above the table on the landing, and I definitely didn't catch a glimpse of an eerie figure darting out of view. I also didn't look over my shoulder into the dark, empty hallway behind me, head pounding, before I eased my way down the stairs. And when I snuck another peek at the mirror, I didn't see 2 eyes peering down at me. The pounding in my head intensified. When I sighed, the house seemed to sigh with me. Some people think you have to believe in ghosts to see them. Well, if it worked one way, it worked in reverse. I didn't believe in ghosts, and neither did my family. A vivid imagination, Dad called it. Too many computer games, Mum said. My grandma, Mama, staunchly refused to talk about ghosts at all. One mention of the G word and she was spooning medicinal soup into your mouth in less than 5 seconds flat to chase away whatever delusions you had. So ghosts didn't exist. Period. I had real problems to worry about, like how I was going to hide my final exam in math and the big red D at the top of the paper. Thankfully, Mom was vacuuming the kitchen for the 3rd time that week, so I managed to sneak past her and into the living room. As soon as I did, my headache vanished. Relieved, I slunk over to the ancestral altar. The altar stood in the corner of the living room. It was 3 layers tall, with intricate curls carved into the dark cherry wood, and it bore its plate of 4 stacked oranges in solemn solitude. I tried to ignore how it seemed to glare down at me, silently carrying the judgment of all my ancestors, like they never got a D on an exam before. Carefully, I slid out the bottom drawer of the altar, the one that no one in my family touched, not even my grandma, and I slipped my folded test paper inside. Then I shut the drawer. I peered over my shoulder, heart racing. Thankfully, the vacuum was still running. Look, it's not like I wanted to hide my test. It's just that Mom would have gone nuts if she saw it, and then I'd have to call the ambulance to save her poor heart. I was doing her and Dad a favor. It was only until I could buy a red marker that matched what the teacher had used, and then I'd turn that D into a B, and everyone would be happy. I'd head over to the corner store after school and pick one up. Emma, Mum said from behind me, and I shot up. She had her arms crossed, and she was looking at me with her disappointed Mum, TM, frown. I plastered a serene smile on my face. Morning, Mum. What are you doing? I looked up at the altar behind me and cleared my throat. Paying my respects to the ancestors? Mum's frown deepened. You know you're not supposed to touch the altar. Mama says, I'll invite bad luck into the house if I mess with the altar, I finished with a sigh. Even though Mama didn't believe in ghosts, she was a firm believer in superstitions. From making sure our beds weren't pointed toward the bedroom doors, it looked like we were dead, to making sure we never stuck our chopsticks upright in a bowl of rice, because the gods were going to mistake our fresh rice bowls for offerings for the dead. A lot of it had to do with making sure we didn't associate with death and all the unlucky things that trailed behind it. She even made me carry around a stash of protective talismans in my backpack, little rectangular papers with great sweeping characters written in black ink. The altar was especially off-limits. No one explicitly said why, but an unspoken agreement had been planted around it. Touch the altar, and Mama ends you. I shivered. Luckily, Mama was nowhere in sight. She was probably out in the backyard watering the garden before the summer sun grew too hot. Hurry up, then, otherwise you'll be late for school. It's the last week before summer vacation. Mom dusted off a speck of nothing from my shoulder. And make sure you come straight home after. Your cousin Dylan's red egg and ginger party is tonight, and we still have to get you an outfit. I barely stifled a groan. My cousin Dylan was 100 days old now, so that meant we had to celebrate with a red egg and ginger party, and that meant a family gathering where I was going to be pinched and prodded within an inch of my life. But today was the day I promised to go over to my best friend Michelle's house to help her with the last tweaks on her diver bot project. I didn't think I'd be needed back at my house until dinner time. But... Mom marched into the kitchen and took out my packed lunch from the fridge. She shook it at me. Glumly, I took it. "Mama will take you to the mall since your dad and I will be working," she said, scrutinizing the hastily closed top of my lunch bag. She unvelcroed it, then velcroed it back with precise movements and a satisfied smile. "Pick something nice up, okay?" I was torn. Michelle had said the project was a matter of life or death. "I can pick something up on my own." "Mama will go with you," she repeated firmly. "Are you taking your bike to school?" I bit my bottom lip. Mama had coughed up a storm last night, and I didn't want to bother her in case she was getting sick. "Mom!" "Ride carefully," she said, "and make sure your helmet straps are tightened properly." Before I could say anything else, she turned the vacuum back on. A loud whirring filled the space, and I swallowed my brewing frustration. She never listened to what I wanted to say. I lugged on my backpack and left the house to grab my bike. I kept it in the tin roof shed in the side yard. Outside, the breeze nipped at my ears and I shivered. Something felt different in the wind today. It left a creeping chill on my skin, which was weird because even on the coldest days of winter, being in the garden around the house had only ever made me feel warm. I'd help Mama plant many of the flowers and shrubs. Being in our garden smelled like instant noodles sneakily eaten after school before Mom and Dad got home. It sounded like Mama's calm voice instructing me how deep to dig into the cool, damp soil. It was warmth and sunshine, even on cloudy days. We'd built the garden up so that the hydrangea bushes are clustered around the house like a protective fortress, and the plum trees reached toward the sky like spires. Even the neighborhood deer seemed to steer clear out of respect. Or, you know, because Mama had ambushed them with her gardening rake enough times that they finally got the hint. I shivered again, trying to shake off the feeling of ice in my veins. I wheeled my bike out of the shed and promptly stopped. Under the shadows of my house, a boy was standing in the middle of Mama's hydrangea bushes. His face was cast in darkness. It almost looked like he was standing in the bushes, which would have been really hard to do, since I discovered how dense they were when I fell into them last month while I was helping Mama remulch the bushes to protect them from drying out in the summer heat. "Can I help you?" I asked suspiciously. "Yes," he said, and he stepped out of the hydrangea bushes. They didn't rustle when he moved through them. Something about the way he moved made me feel nervous, as if he was a panther waiting to pounce. He was clad in a black jacket with a hood, and it opened to show a charcoal shirt. Even his pants were black as night. They were tucked into the tops of calf-high black boots with thick white soles. If he was trying to make a fashion statement, it wasn't working. He held up a familiar piece of paper. "What the?" I squinted, but there was no mistaking the big red D at the top of the paper, and I flushed. "That's my final math exam. How did you get that?" He scowled like I'd said something brainless. "The game's over, Lin Wai." Whatever he'd called me sounded rude. I took a really good look at him in case I needed to file a police report. Despite it being a sunny morning, the light didn't shine off his black hair. His skin was sickly pale. He looked around my age, but there was a menacing air about him. Fear crawled around in the pit of my stomach like it wanted to come out. It made me feel slightly nauseous. It almost felt like he was a ghost, which, again, was impossible since ghosts didn't exist. I heaved in a deep breath. It was way too early in the morning for this. Ghost or not, if the boy had been in my house, that was breaking and entering. That was a crime. I was dealing with a criminal. "If you want this back, come with me." He extended his opposite hand out. Like the rest of him, his fingers were extraordinarily pale. They were lined with even whiter scars, crisscrossing along the length of his hand. My hands tightened around my handlebars. Where? His face twisted into a sneer. An adventure, a vacation, Hawaii, wherever you want. Come on. No. The sneer dropped. What? I'm going to be late for school, and I've got math first thing. I pointed at the test, trying to keep my hand steady. My heart was loud in my ears, and I swallowed. So if you could just give that back... His nose wrinkled. Sure, if you come with me. I thought about it. The longer I took to answer, the more agitated the boy became, and the more suspicious I got. He was nearly bouncing on his toes by the time I replied. No thanks, I said. I dropped my bike and sprinted back inside the house. Hey, I yelled. Mom popped out from the living room. Her eyes were glued to the suit jacket she was running over with the lint roller, but she still managed to look chagrined. Why haven't you left yet? You're going to be late. I was about to tell her about the trespasser outside, but I froze, because over her shoulder I spotted the boy. He was in the living room, standing beside the altar. He pulled out a calligraphy brush from a black drawstring pouch hanging off the side of his belt. I recognized its teardrop head and polished handle from my miserable afternoon lessons at Chinese school. But while the brushes at school were made of white-haired tops and yellow plastic, his was entirely ink black, just like the clothes he wore. Mom, I whispered. I didn't have a good feeling about this. Maybe you should start taking the bus, she continued, giving her jacket a few more whacks with the lint roller. It's safer anyway, and it's so hot out in the afternoons. The boy pointed the calligraphy brush at the altar and wrote something out, and for a brief moment I could see what he'd written. It was a Chinese character, but one I couldn't read. The lines hung in the air, shimmering in silver, and beautiful in the way that a frosted leaf is in the dead of winter. My mouth dropped open. I'd never seen a ghost do that. I mean, I never saw ghosts, but if I did, I wouldn't imagine them being able to write out calligraphy that hung in mid-air. The strokes of the character hovered for a second more before vanishing into wisps of silver. As soon as they did, a tendril of smoke curled off the altar in the living room. I warned you, the boy mouthed at me. And he disappeared just as I caught sight of the first flickers of fire at the top of the altar. Riding your bike to school is perfectly fine in good weather, Mom rambled on, but what about winter? Transfixed, I watched as the line of fire hungrily ate its way up the side of the ornate carvings. The flames spit bright orange. Plumes of smoke puffed off the wood shelving, and dread filled my stomach. Fire, that's all I needed to say, but the word wouldn't leave my mouth. The first wafts of smoke, heavy and acrid, drifted over to where I stood in the entryway. I said. The flames were licking higher with each second that passed. Mom, you don't have nearly enough reflectors for the rain, and... Fire! I screeched. I heard her gasp right before I ran into the kitchen. In an instant, she was beside me, grabbing pots out of the cupboard and filling them with water. We rushed back out into the hallway, and I nearly careened into Dad and Mama, hurrying down the stairs. They took one look at the dark smoke billowing out of the living room and joined us in grabbing water. Mama threw open the windows, coughing as she did so. My heart squeezed tight. The smoke burned the inside of my nose and made my eyes water. It was probably bothering Mama even more. Finally, the fire was out, and we were left staring at the blackened remains of the family altar. It wasn't until I reached up to wipe my face that I noticed my hands were shaking. Are you okay? Mom asked, frantically patting me all over like I was the one who'd been set on fire. For once, her perfectly coiffed hair was a mess. I saw who did it, I wheezed. It was a boy, but he disappeared like a ghost. My voice trailed off, and my stomach squeezed tight. Uh-oh. Mom's mouth flattened into a disapproving line. This again? I thought you'd grown out of these stories. You can tell us if you'd had something to do with the fire. I didn't, I protested. We've been over this, Emma. Dad ran a wary hand over his soot-covered brow. If you don't want to tell us what's going on, that's fine, but don't lie. But he threatened to take me to Hawaii. Mama laid a gentle hand on my shoulder, and it felt as heavy as a bag of soil. Today she was dressed in a paisley button shirt, and her soft gray hair was wound in little curls. The subtle shake of the head she fixed me with somehow felt more dangerous than the fire we'd just put out. "Don't bother your parents," she said quietly in Cantonese. "Go to school and don't worry, okay?" "Okay," I said, equal parts miffed and relieved that she wasn't spooning her bitter tonic soup into my mouth. Except the unease didn't leave me, and when I hesitantly made my way back out of the house, Mama followed. She closed the door behind us, and her mouth dipped in concern. "Do you still have the talismans?" "Yeah," I said, around the tightness in my throat. "How many?" "I don't know, 2, maybe 3? She glanced back at the house. I followed her gaze, and even though nothing was there, a chill crawled through me. She turned her head to the side and coughed. "Are you okay?" I asked. "You've been coughing a lot more lately." "No, no, here." Ignoring my question, she reached into her pants pocket and withdrew a small stack of protective talismans. She peeled off several from the top and placed them in my palm. Like with the altar, she never fully explained what they were used for. All I knew was that if I felt that something wasn't right, which was exactly how my entire house felt at the moment, I was supposed to stick one on the closest entryway. "It wouldn't work if my parents did it," she said. "Only me." I swallowed, looking down at those several protective talismans. "Did you see anything strange inside the house?" She gave me a careful look, like she was scrutinizing me more than my words. "No." "Did you?" "No," I said, just as carefully. "Good, good," she said affectionately, patting me on the arm. "Now go to school, okay, ah?" "Okay," I said, still unsure. I expected her to go back inside, but she didn't. She simply watched as I got onto my bike and pedaled down the street, and the weight of her stare followed me until she and my house disappeared from sight. And that's the end of chapter 1 of Misadventures in Ghost Hunting. So if you want to come keep reading it and find out what happens, then come and check it out from the library.